You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside a snake.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Ravens Weekly. Welcome to 2022. My name is Matt Hall. We are on episode 92 now of our Ravens Weekly podcast. And as always, I'm joined by Jeff Hutton. Jeff, how are we?
Very well, thank you. Happy New Year, everyone.
Great to be back, isn't it? And we're going to start off, Jeff, I guess, by talking about the festive period. Obviously, our last podcast was before Christmas, wasn't it?
We can't drop in the fact that we're recording this in a new building now. We're actually out of the port cabins.
It's honestly, especially for you, Jeff, and obviously having been here a few years as well and experienced the porter cabins for quite a while.
It's incredible. I know we're going to cover it more at some point in the future, I'm sure, hopefully.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, lovely change of scenery.
Absolutely. Very nice.
Where were we?
And we've got a private room to record in now, so we're not having to worry about noise, which is a good thing, although I've probably cursed that now. We're going to start off, obviously, by talking about that festive period, Jeff.
Okay.
Obviously, two games for Bromley during that festive period, the first of which being Southend. And I guess to touch on first and foremost, it was football for a fiver. And I think it's fair to say that was a big success.
Oh, absolutely delighted. Honestly, the build-up to it, marketing of it, everything, I think we did really well. Really pleased, off-field and the team and everything that we did online and all the different ways we tried to get the message out there and communicate out within our own teams, within new audiences, everything. And to get just under 4,000 people there was only, 600 South... Everyone keeps on talking about that. There was about 600 South End fans. And for us to get just under 4,000 on Boxing Day, during COVID, with the game live on telly and the kickoff at 5:20 is absolutely phenomenal.
Fantastic.
Honestly, it's an absolutely incredible achievement, and it's a modern day league home record attendance. Everyone keeps on asking, "Oh, what is that?" John Self, very kindly, you know, we were asking the same question on the day, weren't we?
This
crowd we've had for a league game for a long, long time, and we touched base with obviously John Self. Many supporters will know, and obviously he was referring to the fact that Bromley was sort of regularly getting 4,000 or 5,000 plus in the 40s, 50s. He thinks up towards the mid 50s wasn't compulsory then for non-professional clubs to record those crowds, so no exact datas, but basically since mid-50s that's been our highest, that Boxing Day game is our highest league crowd, which is absolutely incredible. When you think of some of the games we've had, don't be wrong, that's FA Cup aside, we've had the Colchesters, etc., but even the Ryman Premier League, Matt, and you had a promotion winning playoff finals and promotion winning games, we were still talking 3, 3.5, which was great. But no, honestly, 3,759.
Correct.
And it would have been 3,760 if I didn't get COVID. Because missed it all. I had to watch it on TV. I was gutted. Absolutely gutted. But like I say, the achievement to get a crowd of just under 4,000 with all of those circumstances, Boxing Day, COVID, you know, honestly, I thought it was absolutely brilliant effort. And yeah, like you say, Matt, football for a fiver. Really delighted.
And in terms of other things going on the day, there was a barbecue, there was an outside bar, and we had our football inflatable, which went down really, really well.
Saw the photos.
Yeah, it was constantly busy, the football inflatable, with families, kids, adults.
Can I put a shout out now? Because obviously, as a charity, we are looking for a commercial sponsor to help us purchase one of them.
We are, yes.
We've got a load of road shows planned for the summer, etc. So if there is anyone listening who has their own company or works for a company or knows that someone might be able to help us out with a bit of CSR budget, we'd absolutely love to buy one of them permanently, Matt. Get it all branded in Bromley colours,
Community
etc.
Trust, yeah.
And get it on the road. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'll chuck that quick advert in.
No, well, it was a huge success. So thank you to everyone who was a part of that. And it was great to see. And I think in one of the interviews we're going to hear later on, Byron Webster just touched on the fact that there are a lot of younger fans coming to that game. And hopefully they'll come back. And that's our next generation, our future generation of supporters, isn't it? It's all about the bigger picture.
Big challenge. It won't happen overnight, you know. we're not going to hit those heights straight away in the next game, Solihull this Saturday. You know, we've got consistent, but end of this month, you know, that's it now, 3 weeks after Saturday in terms of home games. We've then got Woking on a Tuesday night, and then we've got Notts County on the Saturday. Again, that game at the moment, international break, I think, so Palace aren't playing. No Premier League games. I think Charlton might be playing on a Monday. I think Millwall are at home. But again, we've got to look at everything that worked well then. We've got to try and replicate in some form. We can't just do football for a fiver every single game and all that sort of stuff. We're trying to get ourselves to a sustainable point. But I'm sure there's going to be some kind of initiative and other projects we can work on. I would say probably, especially looking towards that end of the month. And I know we've had our meetings already this week, haven't we? And hopefully something will come out very early next week. But no, I thought everyone off the field deserves a massive, massive round of applause, honestly, because I think the effort that went into that was justly rewarded on the day. Off the pitch, on the pitch, obviously... You know, talking about the game. It's one of those. It's always the way. I think in the past you get a big, big crowd, or you know. And like I say, Andy touched on his interview, and I know he mentions it further in his interview later. But it wasn't a win. It wasn't a defeat. But always typical, isn't it?
But another goal for Michael Cheek, and I'm sure you saw it on the TV, Jeff, as we did here.
Looks brilliant. The
celebration, amazing. And of course, an important thing to touch on while I'm thinking about it.
Is there a story behind that celebration?
I genuinely don't know. There was the rowing one as well before that, wasn't there, where the players all were sat down in the rowing boat, in the imaginary rowing boat. But another thing to touch on, Jeff, on the community front particularly, was the shelter campaign, the hashtag No Home shirt. So obviously the team were wearing the red shirt.
Slightly ironic for us anyway, didn't I? Because when it got announced back in the thing, I thought, not exactly good timing. We've not got anything available anyway in terms of the club shop and stuff. So I was like, you couldn't have wrote that. But but no, like you say, we got behind that campaign. And obviously, coincidentally, obviously before that, with obviously Dave Roberts and the donations to Bromley Homeless charity. I'm not sure what that...
Over 600 quid at the minute, which is a testament to all of you.
As always, the club and the supporters and everybody doing their bit for the community, I think it says a lot about us. And what we should have said, Matt, before that game, was obviously the Christmas holiday food programme that we run.
Yes, and what a huge success that was. So just to paint a picture for everyone listening, we didn't do our usual offering of a soccer camp for the general public or the children of the general public to attend. This one was targeted at children who were on free school meals, and it was done in partnership with the Bromley Children and Families Forum and Bromley Council. So a huge shout out to Sam and the team there for working on it with us. And it was brilliant. We had some external speakers come in to do motivational talks and informational talks to the kids. We had a fantastic team of coaches who worked and a staff who worked on it. Absolutely fantastic. And these kids, they needed the opportunity to get out and get some exercise and play. And they all thoroughly enjoyed it. It was so rewarding to see the impact that it had on them.
It was a new step for us, wasn't it? It's the first time in regards to providing a hot breakfast, hot lunch, healthy food, etc. And we're very fortunate with the new facilities to have been able to do that. So, yeah, real step in the right direction for us. Great to be working closely with the local authority and Bromley Children and Families Forum, like you say, Matt. They all got their tickets to the South End.
A lot of them came down. Yeah,
brilliant. No, absolutely fantastic.
And again, hopefully some future Bromley fans there as well. So that was a very busy few days for us. We did manage to have a day off on Christmas Day. And then, of course, Boxing Day came. And then came the trip to Maidenhead. You decided not to go to that one, didn't you?
I was sitting.
Oh, were you? Sorry.
I came out the day after.
Oh, sorry. That's my mistake. So you had a very good excuse. You had a very good excuse. I think it's an acceptable excuse not to come to that one. I don't know if it makes you feel any better. You didn't miss out on much.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I don't really think there's too many talking points on this one. Obviously, those who went, it was a good level of away support from the Bromley fans, despite a difficult journey on the
N25. But considering I think the trains as well, there's all sorts.
Yeah, there were. It was very difficult to get there, actually. Even like I said, on the M25, it took a very long time. Lots of traffic and, as you say, issues with trains. But yeah, a good following. And unfortunately, certainly not the result Bromley were looking for. A good first half performance, lots of chances, perhaps should have been 2 or 3-1 up maybe at half time. Not so great second half, sadly, couldn't keep it up, and Maidenhead got the one and only goal of the game and took the 3 points. So a disappointing one, disappointing way to end the year. But then after that, of course, you know, you'd be looking for a response on the second, and that was taken away from us as well.
Such a shame. I think we had a almost full supporters coach going. Just traditional, isn't it? Like, just like Boxing Day to get out on New Year. Was it New Year's Day?
The second.
Yeah, like you say, just take it away. But fair play. I mean, was it cancelled pretty early? I mean, because
yes, it was. Yeah,
it was cancelled the day after we said that there are no updates and the game is going to be on, which was the true position of where we were at the time. But yeah, as always. Yeah, disappointing. And is there a new date for that yet? Has that been confirmed?
No, there isn't a new date. I just wanted to touch on, before I forget about it, you said about the supporters coach. There is a supporters coach now going to Grimsby on the 22nd of January. So for those of you that want to go to that one, it is. Yeah, I've been at Wembley when 10,000 have been chanting that, and it's quite something. So yes, we are going up to Grimsby on the 22nd. There is a supporters coach going. So book your place if you want to come. No, that's the Cod Army.
That's the Cod Army.
That's it on that front. We gloss over that with some good news that we've had this week, and that is the signature of Scott Wagstaff,
signing news. It must be Friday.
Yes, it is. Signing Friday, or whatever we used to call it. That doesn't sound great, but I could think of some others which I'm not going to say on air, but Scott Wagstaff, absolutely fantastic. Remember watching him play for Charlton about 10 years ago in the Championship, which is unbelievable, in League One as well. He's a very experienced player, 31 years of age. He's played for Charlton, Bristol City, Gillingham, AFC Wimbledon, Forest Green, Aldershot, amongst some other teams as well. A huge welcome to him. It's been brilliant to meet him, and he's been very, very good with us as well.
It's been great, I must admit. Yeah, great first impression around the place. Said hello, took time out to say hello to everyone in the office behind the scenes and stuff. Really, really good character, like you say, and if that could transcend to the football pitch, brilliant.
Absolutely, Jeff. And we took the time to catch up with Scott for an exclusive interview, and here's what he had to say. Scott Wagstaff, welcome to Bromley Football Club. How's it feel to be here?
Yeah, brilliant. Obviously, it's been a while coming. I've had a few meetings here over the last couple of years with the old manager, and obviously Woody in the summer. And obviously delighted to get it done now and get ready to go.
And you did feature against Bromley earlier this season for Aldershot Town. Close game that day. You put in a great performance.
Aldershot played really well that game. We probably deserved to win it, I felt at the time, but we just got bullied, I think, and they were very dominant from set plays especially, and we didn't really have that, but we gave a good account of ourselves. But obviously at the time Bromley had enough to get over the line, and that's what we sort of needed, and that was obviously one of the reasons I wanted to come here as well, because they're getting the job done in a lot of the tight games and they're doing really well in the league, so I'm really excited for the challenge now.
And just watching you speak to Andy out there, it's clear you've got a relationship that goes back quite a few years, haven't you?
Yeah, he was brilliant with me when I was a young lad. He'd always look after the young lads at Cheltenham when I was there, and he'd always have banter and everything else. Obviously, it's going to be changing now. It's not going to be as like that. It's got to be a lot more serious, but you still like to have that sort of that jokey side to the gaffer. But I'm really, really excited and really looking forward to working for him.
And you've had your first day training. How's it been?
Yeah, really intense, really good session, tough session. I have to try and get used to that sort of intensity every day, because it's a good intensity, and I've really enjoyed it. And obviously had a really good time at Aldershot. The gaffer there was brilliant with me, all the players and staff. Really had a good time. But now I'm really looking forward to putting in some good performances for Bromley.
And it's obviously an ambitious club, as you say there. What's your thoughts on the facilities that you've seen?
Brilliant. Since I've come in, it's eye-opening. It really is. They're really eye-catching, and I've really enjoyed being involved in this. It's a great place to come and work. And hopefully it can carry on improving.
And in terms of settling in, how are you finding it? Do you know any of the boys from anywhere else?
Yeah, I know a couple of the boys. I know Bing's here. I think the boys call him Bill, but I've been calling him Bingsy, so I've been getting a bit of stick for that, and Trots as well, I know. But I obviously know a few of the players, obviously playing against them a few months ago, and I keep an eye on it as well, because it's a local team to me. It's only half an hour, so it's good to get in here. But the lads have been brilliant since I've come in, and they're really welcoming, so it seems like a really good team spirit.
And obviously we're at home to Saturday playing against Solihull Moors. It'd be nice for you to meet all the fans as well.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. Like we were saying earlier, I think the South End game, we got a great turnout from that, and hopefully they'll be back out there again on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to see what the fans are about, and hopefully I can do them justice.
And a lot of fans will have seen you play over the years for various clubs, including Charlton and amongst others as well. For those that might have not, how would you describe yourself as a player?
Well, I love to work hard. That's my main sort of thing. I've always brought that into wherever I've been, and then hopefully my quality can sort of come out, and hopefully I can chip in with a few goals. Hopefully if I'm a bit higher up the pitch, I can start to chip in with a few goals, and obviously help Cheeky out, because he's been a great servant for this club, and he's scoring every week. Every time I look, it looks like he's scoring. So hopefully us as a midfield, we can start to bring the goals and help him out a little bit.
Well, Scott, it's great to finally have you on board. Thanks for joining us.
Brilliant, thank you.
Great to be here. From Scott there, Matt, like I say, true gentleman, took his time out, say hello to everyone behind the scenes, which was great.
You talk about first impressions, Jeff, and over the years we've seen some really special characters come and go from the football club, and I'm sure you don't need us to name them, people who are listening, and people that you form bonds with over the years, and Scott come in
Sanifu
and
Ibrahima. Just...
He was the first Bromley goal I ever saw, so I definitely did have... There was something about Sanifu Ibrahima. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant, what a man. But Scott came in and absolute gentleman, like you say, Jeff, really friendly, great interview as well, really enjoyed doing it. Super Scotty Wagstaff is on board, and it's absolutely brilliant. I think that's what people were crying out for, is some experience in midfield. Of course, those of you that have seen Scott play over the years know that he actually started out as a winger, but has in more recent years converted to a central midfield role. And the key to his game is that he's very fit and has got a good engine on him, so really looking forward to seeing him play, and who knows, might get to see some of that against Solihull on Saturday. I've just seen a stat here before we go on to the next bit. The Vanarama National League have just tweeted us, and the tweet says, who bagged the most National League points in 2021? And Bromley
the calendar year.
We are joint second. That's incredible. Chesterfield and Stockport are joint top on 93. We're second on 88. And Wrexham and Halifax are the teams beneath us.
Wow.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
We're above Hollywood.
That is absolutely incredible. And no one can take that away from us now, because obviously 2021's gone. Moving on then from one interview to another, and as always we catch up with the gaffer on a weekly basis, and here's what he had to say on the Scott Wagstaff signing and ahead of Saturday's clash against Solihull.
Andy, so the festive period is gone, the new year is upon us. What's your reflection on that period?
It wasn't the results we was probably looking for over the festive period, but that said, we created a lot of chances, and on another day we probably would have taken the points. So a disappointment from the points perspective, but it was two games we played, and another day we might have been on the right end of the results.
And you must have been equally frustrated that the team didn't get the opportunity to put that right on Sunday. Obviously the game was called off.
We wanted to play. We've really worked hard at the club to make sure that we don't get any games called off via the COVID. And we've even put out teams with the younger players, which is something that I really wanted to maintain. And I'm hoping that other clubs hopefully follow suit on that. But it wasn't meant to be. So we just regroup and get ourselves ready for the next game, which is Saturday, Solihull.
And some good news, in addition to the squad, you've signed Scott Wagstaff. That's absolutely a brilliant move.
Yeah, Scott summons a young player I worked with when he was at Charlton. He broke into the first team when we was there, and he's a player we're delighted to have on board. I had a lot of conversations with him in the summer. Circumstances didn't really allow me to bring him in the summer. Circumstances really from my point of view, from what I'd done in the transfer market already. It's come round that I could sign him now, and we jumped on the chance of bringing a player of his pedigree into our football club, just as we needed.
And another great role model for the younger players to look up to.
I don't think he'd be too happy about me calling one of the older statesmen just yet, but I think it's very important for the younger players, you know, that they see how the Billy Binghams and the Scott Wagstaffs and the Trotters, how they all sort of conduct themselves on the pitch and off the pitch, and how they're professional. So not only from a football point of view, we're delighted to have him, but it's good to have someone of real pedigree, that's been in the game and played at a level.
And we look back at one of those festive games, the Southend United fixture, and let's talk about the attendance on that day. We now know that it was a modern day league record, which is fantastic, isn't it?
Especially it's brilliant. I do like this word modern. What is it?
Modern day.
Well, I don't know really what that means. It probably means in the last year, does it?
Last few years.
Does it? Yeah. Brilliant. I mean, it was a brilliant atmosphere, wasn't it? My disappointments on the night was that we didn't give an account of ourselves like we have been, but that's just me. But the actual atmosphere was brilliant. They got behind the team, they kept pushing the team forward, and it was, let's hope we can get those numbers keep coming back, because it does make a real huge difference to have everyone supporting us in that way.
And speaking of getting them back, we're back at home on Saturday, aren't we, against Solihull Moors, another tough test, and the support will be brilliant once again.
Yep. I mean, Solihull are a good team, and I think when we get to this stage of the season, there's no bad teams in this league. I really mean that. I've said it so many times. The margins are so fine between winning and losing, as we've been on the back of just recently. So we sort of come to the halfway mark, and we've really got to make sure we replicate what we've done in the first half of the season, for sure.
Andy, great to catch up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fantastic from Andy. As always, it's always entertaining catching up with him. Really, really do enjoy
it. I know this
is
an audio experience, but if you go and watch the actual interview, you can actually get a small glimpse of his new office, which looks amazing.
Just wanted to stay in there after that interview. But yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I just get abuse here. It's fantastic, like you say, Jeff, and it really, really, it has been great to be...
Busy start of the year, isn't it?
In and around it. It is 2022 now, Jeff, and obviously it has been, both in terms of us moving in here, etc. It's been a very busy time around the club. Lots of things going on, lots of things for the fans to talk about and to think about as well, haven't they?
Yeah, obviously we had the refresh crest, didn't we, just before Christmas. Obviously a slight tweak to the club crest, and obviously more recently the bar and kitchen, which is obviously... below us, the work is going on at pace, and it looks like an absolutely fantastic space. I can't wait to see it finish and see us all in there. But yeah, like you say, Matt, there was a short list that's been put together, and that's gone out on the official website, and obviously it sparked fierce debate amongst supporters, which is always great. It's great to know that everyone cares and is as passionate as us about it all. Yeah, we've had tons and tons of feedback and responses to that, and people have completed the form. Again, I know not everyone's fans of those five that have been shortlisted. There is a box at the bottom of that page where you can submit your comments, your feedback, tell us what you really think, put forward your own suggestions, and loads of you have done so. So thank you so much. Again, for those who can't fill it in, drop us an email, info@bromleyfc.co.uk. I've been sharing emails with a number of supporters this week on the subject, etc. We'd love to hear from everyone, as always. And all that feedback will obviously all get fed back in centrally here. And obviously we'll see how things progress. As far as I'm aware, there was nothing immediately imminent. You know, we were starting that process. So, I just want to get in there, Matt. Honestly, I just want that space to be open. And, you know, Ravens Bar, I love Ravens Bar, and I always will. And I'm sure we'll all be in and out of there over time as well. But, you know, once it's packed. You know, you get 150 people in there and it's sort of game over. That new space that's just below us here. And like I say, the work is going on at pace. I can see the outline of the bar go in now.
It's taking shape, isn't it?
Frames going in. It's going to be an absolute game changer. And the amount of screens and stuff that are going in there. So, really can't wait. But all the details for that are over on the website. Like I say, we've had 450 responses so far, which
incredible.
Is brilliant. You know, it's gone out to probably about 8,000-9,000 people via email. So, we'll keep obviously tracking all of that and feeding it in. If you haven't already, please do head over to the website, get involved. It'd be great to hear from you. But like you say, Matt, on and off the pitch, it's been a busy one. And before we know it, it's our first home game of 2022.
It is. And just touching base.
On that note, obviously, some of the suggestions that came through, etc., as well from other fans, a lot of people have obviously touched on Dave Roberts, obviously quite rightly. And
our beloved.
with regards to obviously the bar potentially being named after him, etc. I know, Matt, when we spoke with the family obviously pre-Christmas, and we also had the lovely lovely send-off both within the Ravens bar and obviously on the fixture as well, and we had spoke quite poignantly about the tea hut, about the Dave Roberts tea hut potentially, and the where the new turnstiles are going and the old port cabin office are going. Obviously the tea hut's going to have a refurb, be relocated slightly, and I know we spoke with the family and I think they thought that was quite a poignant a potential way
anyone who's read the book and watched the film will agree and understand it.
Again, that was discussed at the time pre-Christmas, and that's sort of moving along, and we're continuing to sort of liaise with the family, and like I say, what that looks like in reality is that you know, is that almost a memory tile montage type wall or timeline which sort of show that young Dave and then show sort of the book being launched and then maybe the film being made and all of that. I don't quite know. I think hopefully that's where, you know, we'll work closely with the family on that front, and then maybe there's an element of fan engagement on that to help us
definitely
put together what that actually looks like. But yeah, sorry, I just wanted to quickly give an update on that, because I know a lot of people have mentioned that, and some of the people I've emailed have explained that, but yeah, I thought it was important to get that out there, because I think that's a lovely gesture. I think it's one that I think the family appreciate, and I think he's quite fitting.
A lovely gesture for a lovely man, Jeff. And yes, thank you to all of you, as Jeff said, who have submitted your feedback and ideas. We're going to move on now to tomorrow, as we're recording this on the Friday. Tomorrow, it's match day, and we are back at Hayes Lane. Be nice to be back home once again as we take on Solihull Moors, who previously, prior to last year anyway, have been a real bogey team for us. I remember going out to Solihull, and I think we were something like 4-0 down at half time. And
the coach turned up late and all that.
That was a different year. Yeah. And then do you remember when we got stuck on the train as well? You went up on the coach. Yeah. I went up on the train, and we got stuck with the team. It's absolutely, yeah, it's not been a good fixture for us over the
years.
That's
the away games, though. The home games?
The home games, we've beaten them twice now.
There you go.
Prior to last
year. Keep it light,
Matt. It was only once. But last year, we beat them on both occasions, which is the first time we did that. We beat them 1-0 at their place on BT Sport.
Roll on Saturday.
With no people in the ground. And then we beat them here with no people in the ground.
Early start Saturday?
It is, yes. So for some of us, we'll be here from 9 o'clock as we host Saturday morning soccer school for the very first time in 2022. It's been great to see the amount of sign-ups we've had for that already. We are on a new booking system now called Class for Kids, which is fantastic. Bring your kid down if you've got a child between the ages of 4 and 15. And no, absolutely not. Don't bring yourself down, unfortunately. It is only for the young ones. 9 o'clock is the 4 to 6-year-olds, 10 o'clock the 7 to 9-year-olds, and 11 o'clock we are rebranding that session as our new football development group, which is very exciting. And not to forget, we have the Wildcats session as well, which is for girls aged 4 to 10 at 10 o'clock. So there's a lot going on here in the morning.
Midday or Woods, it's 18 pluses in the Ravens bar.
And it's pie and mash and a pint.
Pie mash and a pint for a tenner.
That's got a ring to it. Pie mash and a pint for a tenner. That's really tempting, actually. And there's football on the TV, isn't there, as well?
Palace Millwall, FA Cup. Oh, Millwall Palace, sorry.
It is
FA
Millwall Cup. Palace.
At the Den.
And then afterwards, after the game,
televising it.
Chelsea versus Chesterfield.
Oh, go on,
which
Chelsea.
which is going to be an interesting game as well. So lots going on here at Hayes Lane tomorrow from the early morning. So do come down and join us when you can. Yeah, we're looking forward to another busy home match day.
And rather than finishing on our dulcet tones for once, we're going to catch up with the skipper, I believe.
We are.
Oh.
Byron, so the Christmas period, the busy Christmas period is now behind us. How would you reflect on those few games?
Well, we didn't get the points we wanted, so you know that's disappointing. But on reflection, which we have done as a team and as obviously with the coaching staff, we're still in a healthy position. So it's good that way, but obviously we would have liked to have taken, well, probably 6 points over the two games. But as a manager has said, you know, the season's a lot of ups and downs, bumps in the road, as he calls it. So yeah, we had a little bump in the road, but now it's time to kick on and, you know, keep doing what we've been doing.
And just before that festive period, I think it's important to highlight the FA Trophy game, where pretty much a mixture of very young players and a couple of experienced players took on Dover's first team and won. A massive shout out, obviously, to those young players. players who played well beyond their years?
Yeah, definitely. You know, they've been training with us a lot. So, you know, they deserved it, you know, and the manager, fair play to him, put them in. But it's all right, the manager putting you in there, but you need to do it. You know, the young lads have to do it, and they have done it. So, you know, they've got every right, as they do. They come in and train. They train the hardest. They kick a few of us, you know. It's good for them. They're learning on the job, as they say. But, you know, like I said, the manager can put them in, and it's for them to sink or swim, and, you know, they're swimming a lot, so fair play to them.
And it was Finlay Lovett with his first senior goal. Obviously, you training and around him every day. How's he doing?
Yeah, he's doing well. You know, he's got an eye for the goal. But there's a lot of them. There really is a good group. You know, so hopefully the chairman's got them all signed up, and, you know, he can make a few quid, or they can come into the Bromley first team and help us progress. But, yeah, Finlay's doing well. There's Ben Crowhouse, there's Archie, there's Jack, there's Kellen, you know, the list goes on. So, but you can see that as well in the FA Youth Cup run they've done. You know, I came to a few of the games, and, you know, the fans are behind them as well. So, you know, it's a special group, as the Man United, they had the 92 team. You know, Bromley have got the 21-22 team.
And talking of players, obviously a new face has joined this week, Scott Wagstaff. A player of great quality and great experience as well. How's he done settling in?
Yeah, he settled in well. Obviously, I think he knew a few of the lads. He knows Bill. So Bill was giving us a rundown before he actually came in of how good a lad he is and his qualities. So yeah, we've only had one day of training with him so far, but he's come in, he's a bubbly character. Obviously, got a great pedigree, done well, been in the league. So, you know, it's another addition that can hopefully get us to where we want to be at the end of the season.
And obviously, this Saturday sees our first game of the new year, having seen the Southend game postponed. Looking forward to being back in action?
Yeah, it's good. And obviously, hopefully go in there and get a win and be unbeaten and see how long we can go in this calendar year, you know, on a winning run again. We know we need to get back-to-back wins and keep progressing up the table and keep, you know, there or thereabouts. So, yeah, it's a game we look forward to, and a game that's going to be a tough one because Solihull are playing, you know, some good football. Obviously, I think it's Neil Hardley who's gone in, got a good style of football and getting results. So yeah, it's an interesting game. It's a challenge we're going to relish.
And a tough game makes the support all that more important, doesn't it?
They've been fantastic, haven't they, recently? You know, well, not just recently, since they're coming, but the crowds are getting bigger, the atmosphere is getting bigger, the drum, the, you know, the flags, you know, there's a lot of young kids coming down, so yeah, it's a positive. The club's progressing, obviously the new building, the fan base, you know, are coming in, but it's up to us as players to make sure the fans keep coming by keep putting in performances and keep winning.
Well, great to catch up, Byron, thanks for your time.
What a lovely way to finish your podcast, mate.
Oh, brilliant, isn't it?
And first of 2022,
what better way to finish than catch up with the skipper, who is absolutely brilliant and always a joy to catch up with. That's it, we're done. First episode of 2022.
Beautiful.
We're finished.
We're on target at the moment.
We are, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, wherever you're listening from, whenever you're listening. It's been great to be with you once again. Do come and join us at the match against Solihull on Saturday, and we hope to see you there. If not, we hope to see you again very, very soon.
Ravens, Byron, fine match.
And we'll be back next week, won't we? Thank you.
Champions League, you could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.